This episode is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. Ladies, you know, it's time of the month, a specific time that comes every single month for us where things get a little tricky. The cravings get serious, specifically for stuff we don't need, like ice cream and chocolate and all of those feel-good things. You may get irritable like me. I'll be ready to bite everybody's head off. Or you may be in a phase of life where you are going through perimenopause or going through menopause and you're dealing with all of the symptoms that come from that. I want to tell you about Happy Mammoth, which is the company that created Hormone Harmony. They are dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BLESSED at checkout. That's happy, MAMMOTH.com, and just use code BLESSED at checkout. This episode is brought to you by Delta Airlines. I'm getting ready to travel actually in a few days, going to Atlanta for a speaking engagement. And of course, when I booked my flight, I booked it on Delta Airlines. I am a complete homebody. So when I travel, I want my flying experience to be as comfortable as I am at home. And I love that Delta provide that. They have these curated travel experiences just for you. I love even their sustainable alternatives that they have for their in-flight dining, like plant-based dishes, especially as a plant-based eater. They have bamboo cutlery, organic, gluten-free, and nutrient-packed snacks. Literally everything that I need to be my best self in the air. They also have more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment and premium food options and beverages like herbal teas, cold brew, sparkling wine, and more. So just like when I'm at home, I get something good to eat and watch something on TV, I can do the same exact thing in the air. Delta Airlines believes that you should feel at home, even if you're 30,000 feet above it. Learn more at Delta.com. You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Remember, this week we're catching up on chapter 6 and 7 of Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. Last episode, we went over chapter 6. Today, we are discussing chapter 7, which is called Think About What You're Thinking About. Now, again, if you are not reading the book, that's totally fine. These episodes will still bless you. If you do want to join us in this book club, go ahead and click the link in the show notes to get your copy of Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. Now, this chapter, the title is rich by itself. Think about what you're thinking about. Now, remember, I told y'all I've read this book multiple times. It's been some years, though, since the last time I read it. The first time I read this book, I was in a space where I was new in my relationship with God. I was new in studying the word. I was new in this process of just allowing Him to transform me. And so, to be honest, once I got to this part in this whole concept of think about what you're thinking about, it was a bit overwhelming. Like, I knew that I wanted to win the battlefield of my mind. I knew I wanted to and needed to take my thoughts captive. I knew I didn't want to deal with anxiety and stress and overwhelm and negative thinking and all of those things. I knew that I wanted to be victorious in this way. And up until this point, the book had been very encouraging. And even as we're reading it back, it's encouraging, it's enlightening, but it ain't too much.
once we got here back then, it became a bit too much because I was in a space where I'm like, God, I am in total unfamiliar territory here. And to be quite frank, when I truly gave my life to God, I got saved as I call it, if it was an isolating experience for the most part, I had folks in my life where, and I thank God for this, He's always placed people in my life to pour into me and mentor me exactly where I need to be. So at this time, I did have someone in my life who I was able to call and be like, okay, I read this scripture, but I'm not sure what this means. This person told me about the study Bible. And so I went to Barnes and Noble and got the Life Application Study Bible that I recommend here all the time. I got that Bible based on that recommendation for the first time. I was able to call and say, hey, I read this. I think it means that, but how do I apply it? And I was able to get poured into, get prayed for, all of the things. So I did have someone, but it was an isolating experience because I was in this spot where I was totally transitioning into new territory. I was in my earlier 20s. I was newly an entrepreneur, coming to the point where I was about to leave my job. I was already feeling isolated in that because a lot of my peers were still finding their career paths after college. They were interested in like generational wealth or side hustles and things of that nature, but nobody was looking at building a business the way I was. I wanted to build a company full time that was widely successful, and I was throwing myself totally into it. So I was feeling isolated in that. I was feeling isolated on a spiritual side because everybody I knew was still in them streets, and I was still in them streets as well and trying to claw my way out. So I was just feeling very lonely in a lot of ways. So while I did have someone to pour into me, it was a lot of transition at the same time. At this time, I was also dating my husband, and BJ and I are 7 years apart. So he's 7 years older than I am. So he was more established. He was mature. He was sure that he was ready to get married. He knew that he wanted to be married to me. It was just a matter of when I was ready. And so I'm dealing with that. Nobody in my friend group were in relationships, and definitely not in relationships where marriage was something in the foreseeable future. So it was a lot of transition for me at this time. And reading this book, it was helping me with the mental overwhelm of it all. But this chapter in particular went from the book providing me with tools and relief to the book giving me something else to stress about. Because thinking about the thought of thinking about what I'm thinking about instantly gave me anxiety. But and I'm like, I'm going to go crazy. I'm already someone who it lives in my head. So essentially, you're making me live there even more because now I have to be thinking about every single thought that comes in. Y'all, I was like, this is a lot. This is a lot. And I feel like if I remember correctly, I might have put the book down at this point. So this, if you are in that space, if you're reading this with me, and you're in that space and you feel how I felt when I first got to chapter 7. I see you. I understand you. If you're planning on reading this book, take this as a forewarning that you might get to the point as well where you're like, this has now become a bit too much. However, now being a lot more mature in my faith, being a lot more wise, being a lot more mature in my relationship with God and my understanding of the word, being a lot more settled in living a righteous lifestyle. Looking at this text now, I want to emphasize the importance of taking this chapter seriously because it's in that space of that normal reaction to this, that the way that this may stress you out or make you anxious by taking on the task of thinking about what you're thinking about. Like I understand. And I feel like that is a normal reaction to it. But I have to warn you and encourage you to push past that because this is one of the most important tactics that you can employ in your life. And this is one of those strategies that if you employ it, you will see victory that you cannot even possibly fathom. You will receive an experience, an abundance that's greater than what you can ask for or think, just like the word says. You will experience a life where you are prosperous in everything that you do. And I'm not saying that as no prosperity gospel type stuff or trying to manipulate God into giving you anything. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that there is a fullness to this experience in this life with Christ. There is a fulfillment. There is an abundance. There is a peace. There is just so much greatness and joy that comes with this life that many people do not experience simply because they don't employ this particular strategy. And she even discusses it in this book. There are so many believers that are going to make it to heaven, but never experience victory on earth. And let me tell y'all something. This life, I want all of it. All of it. Every single thing. I want victory in every single area. And I refuse to take a L to an enemy that is defeated simply because I'm too lazy to master my mind. Now, throughout this chapter, she references so many scriptures that emphasize the importance of us meditating on the word, of us thinking about it, pondering on it, fixing our minds on it on a regular basis. And she started off with Psalm 119:15. And I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. It says, I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. If we even go to 16, it says, I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. She even talks about Mark 4:24, which says, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more will be given to you who hear. Now, let me read the same text in the New Living Translation. She uses, I feel like it's a blend of like the King James Amplified versions. So I understand why she's using the Amplified version, because it provides emphasis or amplifies certain words right within the text. But I believe that in that it can lose the meaning or just the totality of what the text is actually saying. So let me read it out of the New Living Translation as well. So this is in red. That means that Jesus said this. This is in the Gospels in Mark. It says, then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. I'm going to go down to verse 25. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little they have will be taken away from them. And essentially what this text is saying, what you give to the word is what you're going to get back. The more that you study it, the more close attention that you pay to what the word is saying, the closer that you listen, the more understanding will be given. Remember, we always talk about welcoming the Holy Spirit and allowing us to move, or the importance of moving by the Spirit and not by the flesh. One of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to provide us with revelation. So as we walk by the Spirit, ponder on the word, study the word, think about the word consistently, and allow our thoughts to go to God's commandments, the Holy Spirit will then reveal even more to us. So that's how you can continuously read the same scripture over and over again, think about it over and over again, and get something different, because you're giving it more attention. You're listening even more closely. And as you do that, more will be revealed to you. I have highlighted here, Joyce says, most people do not delve into the word of God very deeply. As a result, they get confused about why they are not powerful Christians living victorious lives. The truth is that most of them really don't put much effort of their own into the study of the word. They may go out and hear others teach and preach the word. They may listen to sermon CDs or podcasts or YouTube to make this more current, or read the Bible occasionally, but they are not really dedicated to making the word a major part of their lives, including spending time thinking about it. The flesh is basically lazy, and many people want to get something for nothing. However, that really is not the way it works. I will say it again, a person will get out of the word what he or she is willing to put into it. This episode is brought to you by Rosetta Stone.
I've been telling you guys that I'm planning a trip for my husband's milestone birthday that he has coming up. And as we choose which location we actually want to go to, I've been thinking a lot about learning a new language once we narrow it down. Because when I get there, I want to throw myself into the culture, into the language. And a part of that is learning exactly the language that they speak ahead of me getting there, right? Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning platform available on desktop or as an app, and that it truly immerses you in the language that you want to learn. I'm most excited about the track record of Rosetta Stone because, I mean, they've been trusted experts for 30 years. Millions of users in 25 languages offered. I mean, Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. They have fast language acquisition. So Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. So no English translations. So you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. They have an intuitive process so that you pick up language naturally, first with words, then with phrases, and then sentences. And overall, it's designed for long-term retention. They have speech recognition, so a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. So it's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient. So again, those desktop and app options with audio companion and ability to download lessons offline. And best of all, amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off, a steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can give Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today. This episode is brought to you by NPR. We know that Black stories and Black representation in the media is so important. When I was growing up, I wanted to see people on the screen who looked like me. I wanted to hear people on the radio who sounded like me. One of my fondest memories of my childhood was growing up and listening to our local radio station. And my favorite media personality, if you're from the DMV area, you know him, is Russ Parr. And I listened to the Russ Parr Morning Show every single day on the way to school. That was my first introduction to Black people in the media. And I just remember how I felt connected to the hosts, their guests, all the segments, how even my mother, or anyone who was in a car with us, just felt connected to the stories and had a great time engaging with the show. And it's something that's inspired me today, just really wanting to connect with my listeners through my platforms. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and as nuanced as the Black experience itself. I think one of the things that so many places get wrong about the Black experience is they make us to be a monolith. And we're not. We are so different and we have so many perspectives. There's so much diversity even within Black stories. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. So everywhere from Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. My favorite part of the series is the diversity of perspectives, because I believe that one of the most frustrating things about being Black in America is the way they try to group us all together as if we don't have different backgrounds, different thoughts, different opinions, different cultures within our culture. And I love that diversity. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuances, and as Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be told about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. I have realized in recent years how important it is to prioritize spending time thinking about the word.
for so long in my walk, it had been a lot about spending quiet time with God. There has always been just a huge emphasis on when I'm going to be in my prayer closet, when I'm going to carve out time to pray, read my word, and listen, and all of that. And that is, of course, extremely important. It's a necessary and vital part of our lives. But I never realized the importance of outside of that time, how beneficial and necessary it is to still think about the word. And it wasn't until recently where I was getting a little frustrated because I'm like, you know, as my life evolves, I'm like, God, I feel like I just don't have the time that I once had to really just sit in your presence. I have a physical location, a new business with a physical location I have to drive to. I have two children now. One is in school. He has activities and all of that. I have to care for my home. I have clients and things with my business. Of course, I have this podcast. So there are a lot of things going on to where sitting in my prayer closet for an hour plus daily is not fully realistic, if I'm being honest. So I'm like, God, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, right? So if I need to wake up early, I can do that. I wake up about 5 daily period, but even still, I will have to wake up about 3-4 o'clock in order for me to really spend that uninterrupted time. I have a young baby, he up by 6. So God, how are we going to do this? And you have to teach me how to continue to steward my time well, how to make sure that I'm serving you well. And I need you to teach me what that looks like at this stage of my life. And so one of the things that God highlighted to me is I don't need you to necessarily be sitting in a quiet closet with dappy keys and your Bible and prayer journal for hours and hours and hours for you to live a life that's pleasing to me. Of course, we're going to spend time together, but that is going to look different at this stage in your life. So yes, I'm going to read my word. I'm going to pray, but that looks different. And so what he was showing me was this principle too of spending time thinking about the word. So in that 30-minute block that I have to read my Bible, I'm reading it. But then when I'm in the car dropping my son off to school, I'm thinking about what I read. When I'm going to the studio to meet somebody or to give a tour or whatever, I'm writing in silence, listening to what God has to say. When I'm on my way back home, I am praying and declaring and decreeing and speaking towards or against whatever it is may have been revealed in my quiet time. When I'm with my baby during the day and we're playing and practicing his new skills and all of these things, I'm also thinking about the fact that I was going to do IVF. God told me no, and he allowed me to conceive spontaneously and give birth to this beautiful boy that I'm looking at. When my son is throwing a temper tantrum and I have to lean into the spirit and say, I need patience right now, God, because he's trying it. He's trying it. And the way I was raised, I would have got popped by now, but I'm not raising my child like that. So Holy Spirit, I need you to parent me gently and teach me how to parent him gently in this moment. That's still honoring God. I'm thinking about him in the midst of a trying situation. When I'm having dinner with my family, I'm looking at my oldest and thinking about all the miscarriages I had and how I was on tour and just really heartbroken. And still God used me in a way, but personally heartbroken because, Lord, how am I building up these people and praying for these people when I'm believing in you for something that you haven't delivered on yet? God, how am I in Dallas doing a sermon on supernatural delivery when I keep miscarrying and I'm believing in you for this? And I ain't got it. So I'm really preaching by faith because I'm heartbroken right now. So I'm looking at my son and realizing and remembering that as soon as that tour that I did in faith was over, that he was in my womb and I'm looking at him right now. Even in more recent weeks, I'm thinking about how I made a decision to cut back on my workload so that I could focus on my family. And I have a husband who met me right in that space and says, hey, don't worry about that. I'm going to take care of us and you do what God has called you to do without the pressure to have to produce a certain amount of income or the pressure to have to contribute financially to this household. That's not your job. So I'm thinking about the times where in my prayer journal where I wrote down the things that I wanted in a spouse. And I'm looking at my husband every day. And not only does he meet the things that I wrote down, but exceeded those things by far. He meets needs that I didn't even have the maturity to communicate at that time. God knew what I needed and he blessed me in that way. I think about that. And so just thinking about those things on a day-to-day basis and being intentional about thinking about those things, it disarms the enemy from being able to plant nagging thoughts. So when my husband does get on my nerves, I'm not leaning into that irritation because I've already fixed my mind to think about the blessing that he is. So when my kids are acting a fool, especially my toddler or about to be preschooler, whenever he tiptoes on my nerves, I'm reminded, or the enemy is not able to get me to act out of character because I keep myself in a state of remembrance of I prayed for him. I fasted for him. I cried many tears and I kept my faith that the Lord will bring him to this world. And he did. When I look at my baby with the sleepless nights and the sleep regressions and all of the difficulties that go into parenting multiple kids, especially in these ages and stages, I think about the times where I cried my eyes out, not knowing if God was going to do it again for me. And he did. So when the enemy may try to come in that sleep deprivation and plant seeds in my mind, it's not going to work. So for you, it's this strategy here of thinking about what you're thinking about. It's a proactive approach so you don't deal with unnecessary warfare. I think about years ago when I first read this book, how I allowed this particular chapter to be overwhelming. So much unnecessary warfare that I went through as a result of simply not pushing past that discomfort to apply the strategy. That was a foolish mistake I made back then. And so I'm telling you guys, it may sound like a lot. It may sound like too much, but that is a trick of the enemy to keep you mentally bound. And what God is providing through this chapter is a strategy. What is being revealed in these scriptures are the importance of this strategy. So don't just take Joyce's word for it. Read these scriptures, read the text. I put all the scriptures, whether I say them in the episode or not, if they come across in a chapter, I put it in the show notes. Study those things. Something else I have highlighted, she says, and this is in reference to Ephesians 2 and 3. She says, Paul warns us here that we are not to be governed by our sensual nature or to obey the impulses of the flesh, the thoughts of our carnal mind. She says, although I was a Christian, I was having trouble because I had not learned to control my thoughts. I thought about things that kept my mind busy and were not productive in a positive way. I needed to change my thinking. One thing the Lord spoke to my heart when he began to teach me about the battlefield of the mind became a major turning point for me. He said, think about what you're thinking about. As I began to do so, it was not long before I began to see why I was having so much trouble in my life. My mind was a mess. I was thinking all the wrong things. I went to church and had done so for years, but I never actually thought about what I heard. It went in one ear and out the other, so to speak. I read some scriptures in the Bible every day, but never thought about what I was reading. I was not attending to the word. I was not giving any thought and study to what I was hearing. Therefore, no virtue or knowledge was coming back to me. Never forget this. Your mind plays an important role in your victory. Another part I have highlighted, she says, you should take inventory on a regular basis and ask yourself, what have I been thinking about? Spend some time examining your thought life. Thinking about what you're thinking about is very valuable because Satan usually deceives people into thinking that the source of their misery or trouble is something other than what it really is. He wants them to think that they are unhappy due to what is going on around them, but the misery is actually due to what is going on inside them. So what I want you to do as an assignment this week, I want you to do two things. First, I want you to examine your thoughts. At the end of the day, I want you to take inventory on all the things that you thought about that day. If it's too much, because if y'all like me, you spend a lot of time in your head, it can be a lot. Sometimes we forget. Write it down. Do a voice note. Say, right now I'm thinking about, and just write it out. speak it out into the voice note app on your phone. At the end of the day, write it all down. I say write it down so that it's easier for you to reference. So if you do voice notes throughout the day, do like a bullet pointed list in your journal at the end of the day of the things that you spoke. But really take inventory on your thoughts and just look and see, where does your mind go throughout the day? And then the second thing that I want you to do is I want you to intentionally think about the word. All of these episodes, the scriptures are in the show notes. So I want you to take all of them, take one of them. I don't care. Take one a day. I don't know how many are in this chapter because I haven't done the show notes yet, but there are enough episodes of this book. We're on chapter 7. So there are 7 episodes, 7 show notes with scriptures. So pick for every day this week, just pick 7 scriptures. And I want you to read the scripture, read the context of it in your Bible. And then I want you to just think about it throughout the day. So as your mind is drifting, if you're scrolling on social media, stop, put the phone down and think about what you read in the text that day. After you listen to this episode, don't just move on to the next thing. Think about it later. Like, Tatum was talking about blah, blah, blah. Just think about it. That's it. Whatever sermon, whatever church you go to, whatever it is, however you feed yourself spiritually, as far as like where you gather, think about the message that you received from church. Think about the lesson that your pastor gave. If you had a conversation with a friend and they poured into you or they gave you a scripture, just think about it. Just make it a conscious effort to meditate, ponder, and attend to the word. So that's it for this episode. I pray that it blessed you. Leave us a 5-star review if it did. I am looking forward to our next episode. The next bonus, we will go on to chapter 8. Get the book if you want to continue. If not, continue to listen to the episodes. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.